Radio Essex.
It's George Bone.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much. It, like, I know that we've been wanting to do something like this for a long time, and it feels weird being here, but like, I'm super happy to be here generally.
Chris, I'll do a little sort of, you know, background thing here. So Christmas was when we was originally meant to do this.
Yes.
But then Christmas happened.
Yes. Everything associated with the holiday period.
This was all meant to happen with your last single release, which was Valencia.
Yeah.
Which I then remixed. So, you know, some people would say that was not fair going, but either way.
Well, I mean, we got an extra track out of it.
It was completely unplanned.
Yeah. But like, you messaged me just to be like, hey, I did like a cheeky remix of Valencia. Would you like to hear it? And you sent me a private SoundCloud link to it. And I think I was in the pub at the time, listened to it through my right ear, like in the loose, and I was like, oh yeah, this is good.
I made the right ear sound extra good because I knew that was going to be the case.
Yes, disability in the left ear.
There was nothing going on there.
So essentially what then happened was I was like, oh, this is great, but like the vocals sound like slightly compressed because you're clipping them with the track. Here's just the stems to them. Yep. Have a fun time.
You literally just gave me everything and was like, have fun. So, you know, that was my dream.
I mean, I have the stems legally.
you didn't tell me that.
There was no, okay, admittedly, there was no label or anything involved. So, like, it was just me, like, sending them out. I was like, yeah, I'd really love to hear the whole thing. And then I heard the whole thing. I was like, I love this. I love this so much. And then you were like, do you actually want to release this? I was like, yeah, might as well. Why not?
Yeah, well, it happened. And then I was like, do you know what? George, you need to come in on the show because I've been playing your songs. I originally found you from, I was playing a song called Beat Bakery One More Time, which had your incredible voice on it.
Yeah.
And I think they actually reached out to me and was like, we have this song. And I heard it and it was great. And I started playing it on the show. It was something so different to what else I was playing. And I was like, I need to find out who this guy is singing on this. So then I found you, and then you hit me up and was like, I'm actually from Essex.
Yeah.
So we probably should have led with that. George is from Essex. Welcome to Radio Essex.
Anyway, spoiler alert. So yeah, we actually wrote One More Time in the summer of 22, and it sounded very different to how it eventually came out. We then sent a demo of the song out to V Records, who essentially distributed it. And they were like, we love this bit, we don't like this bit, change it up. And then it ended up being my first single out on like Spotify and Apple Music and stuff. Like, that was October 7th of last year. And I had no idea where the guys or V Records had promoted it to. And I didn't know that they knew you beforehand. And so I get like this random notification one day from Radio Essex Instagram, and I was like, hold on, what, huh? And it was like, A, how do they know me? B, same question, how do they know me? But with an exclamation mark. And they were playing One More Time, and I was like, so sick. And I think I gave you an Instagram message just to be like, hey, thank you so much for playing.
Yeah.
Like, and it turned out, again, spoiler alert, from Essex.
Exactly. Yeah. Spoiler alert, the guy on Radio Essex is actually from Essex. You never know anymore.
No way.
And it just sort of, I don't know, there was something about that track. Your vocals, again, were just incredible on it. And that's kind of what was cutting through. And I remember saying on air when I found out, I was like, oh my God, I found out that George Bone is from Essex. So, you know, there's even more of a reason why. I wish I knew that when I first started playing it, because it would have given me something to talk about with the track. But hey-ho, at least I knew after the fact to mention it.
Yeah, at least we get to know these things rather than just sort of being like, I could have been from Scotland. And they'd be like, oh, he's still got a
great voice.
He's still got a bearable voice for radio.
I still want to message you and see if you've got the train down to come in. So, you know.
The very common train from Edinburgh to Southend, Victoria.
Yeah, it happens every day, don't you know? So you haven't had far to come.
No.
Then, yeah. You know, that's the ultimate thing. But you were saying to me earlier on about how you would come to Adventure Island when you was younger and hear us playing out.
Yeah, so I wasn't originally born in Essex. I was born in Norfolk in Norwich, but we moved down to Essex due to my dad's job. And when I was younger, around like 6 or 7, we'd start going to Adventure Island a lot, and especially through the entrance that Radio Essex is now.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we walked down the sort of the that entrance there to get our tickets and stuff, I would hear Radio Essex blaring over the speakers in the theme park. And as I grew up, I was like, knowing that I wanted to do music in the future, I was like, this is one of the places that I've always wanted to go into, just because it became such an integral part of my childhood.
Yeah.
And weirdly, today is the first time that I'm in this building. And we create very weird bucket lists for ourselves
as human beings.
This is weirdly one of those things that I'm ticking off in my head and being like, oh, joy.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Because I know, obviously, you know, we won't name names, but I know that you've been up and down the country to radio stations and stuff. But I'd imagine that when you get to come into somewhere actually to where you grew up, where you live, is a whole, you know, different experience.
Yeah, you can do as many shows as you want in many different locations across the country or across the world or whatever, but the places that hit the most are the places and things that you've always wanted to do to begin with. Gaining an attachment for this place for the last sort of 20 years, and then finally being here today. That's why I really wanted to do something with you in December, because it would have been like a nice little sort of like birthday slash Christmas present. But again,
oh no, you don't have a Christmas birthday as well, do you?
I have December the 9th. I'm 16 days out from Christmas.
Right, well, I beat you there, because I'm Jan 5th.
You're Jan.
I'm literally 10 days after Christmas, and it is painful.
That's tragic. I'm so sorry.
I know. Because do you also get, I mean, it must be harder before Christmas, but you also get the people that go, this is your Christmas and birthday in one. And I'm like, you're cheaping me out here. What's going on?
Okay. Okay. It's double the love. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Like, depending on if my parents listen to this or not, it's like, hi, mom. Hi, dad. I really did love those combined birthday Christmas presents. I really did.
Would have liked two.
You can't see me shaking my head in the studio. But
no.
It was an absolute joy. No, in all seriousness, like winter is probably my favorite season anyway, just because there's no better excuse to then be lazy sitting side with a hot chocolate rather than when the weather is really bad outside. It's just nice to sort of be with family on that occasion. And if I can be with family around birthday and Christmas as a joint thing, then that makes it all the better, really.
So with your writing,
yes,
because obviously you do that you love writing.
Yes.
And you can tell that from your lyrics. And we're actually going to get you to do a live session in a bit. You've brought in a tremendous amount of gear. I feel like you're going to set up Glastonbury or something in here. But
yeah, I think the way that you described it when I trundled this in here was like, oh, it's the entire kit to Ed Sheeran's last tour.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I actually feel like you was about to set up stage for Ed Sheeran. Yeah. But, you know.
So for context, I've brought with me a 10-kilogram suitcase which mounts on top a piano stand, next to it a Yamaha P45 full 88 key keyboard. Then inside the suitcase, especially for today, I brought an SM7B and a Fethead along with me. And then a microphone stand as well. Usually I'd bring a load of that for gigs and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think we were talking about a TikTok that I posted a few weeks ago.
George does really great TikToks. If you like to kind of see the actual, you know, obviously a lot of singers will post stuff on their TikToks, but if you want to actually see sort of the grind that singers have to go through.
I feel that the grind is the definite appropriate word.
Yeah.
Whether it's grinding to the top or grinding the floor, like as like a massive foundation hit. I usually set up my keys in the same way that I brought them in today. And it's very clear to people, especially when I'm doing gigs in Tonbridge and Kent, for Pizza Express, it's very clear where they should move to. And where they should move to is out of the way when I'm coming through. It is shaped like, I cannot stress enough, it's like a compressed crucifix with the way that the keys lay over the top of it.
It is, because you kind of, no single file going on here, because like you're just smacking people out the way.
See, the only reason why I've done this is that bag that I bought my keys in was 35 quid off of Amazon. If I wanted to put wheels on that bag, which would be more practical, it would be £150 more than that. And what I'm thinking is, I've already got a 10-kilogram suitcase. I've already got like bike wires.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I'm spending 40 quid on a setup that gets me to and from the places where I know, and ultimately saving like 140 quid in the process.
See, as what is work hard, not smart.
Oh, oh no. Oh,
budget cuts.
But no, seriously, like because I know that you also get the train everywhere, yes, as well. And I too get the train. I talk about this on air. Like, I get the C2C. You're more Greater Anglia.
Yes, I am.
Because of the destinations and whatnot. Yeah. But I know how narrow the walkways are on these trains now. Like, I struggle to get through with a backpack.
Yeah, I get the weirdest look on the trains.
I genuinely want to know where you go.
Okay, so so with Pizza Express, I do a lot of gigs for them through their live music scene. If you didn't know, Pizza Express have live music venues dedicated in Holborn, Soho, Chelsea, and a recent piano lounge in Covent Garden. But they also get musicians to do tours around not only London, but around the country. So they have live music venues in Leeds, in Bristol, in York, and two that I go to in Richmond, which is basically Stratford on the Overground, mm-hmm, all the way down, or Tonbridge, which I go from London Bridge and then Southern Rail through. It's not like the worst journey in the world. But if it's on a Thursday night, and West Ham are playing European football.
Yeah.
Right. I will profess right now, I'm a Norwich City fan. I was born in Norwich. My granddad used to play for Norwich. Still have associations with a lot of like Essex-based football clubs. But not West Ham fans coming back from a Europa League game. Because I have had the worst interactions with them. Like coming home from a game, especially when they lose on a Thursday night, you get not only packed Abellio Greater Anglia services, but you also get people drunkenly questioning what's in your bag.
Yeah.
I've had people say correctly before, oh, is that a piano? And they're like, yeah, and they're actually inquisitive, which is great. But I've had before, is that a guitar?
Absolutely. Does it look like a guitar?
Absolutely doesn't look like it. Is that a bass guitar? Even further away. Is that a double bass? Even further away. One person go, is that a dead body?
So the one person listening right now, who was the person that said that, is listening chuckling along to the radio right now.
Yeah. I don't know where you are, but according to you, I have a very particular set of skills to fit a body in there, and then with my very lanky frame carry this body across London confidently in a Greater Anglia service destined for Southend Victoria.
I just don't know how you fit it all on the train, honestly.
I praise them for their creativity. It's very fun. I sort of three-point turn in the aisle seat, and there's like the fold-down seats that you get as you're like entering the train. So I just put those down and sort of do my work there. But if it's packed, when I'm going from Stratford to London Bridge on the Jubilee line, especially like if it's like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock rush, there's loads of people in that station. And so there's me sort of tucked up in the alcove at the very end of the train, just being like, oh, sorry, guys. And then when I have to go through London Bridge, I'm just like, I am coming through. Get out of the way.
I can just picture like you get to your stop and you've got everybody in front of you in rush hour, and you have to do that little, excuse me.
Yeah, I have to do that.
I need to get off, please.
I have to do that. But then with like 10 stone worth of equipment,
I'd just do it at the stop before. I'd be like, do you know what? I'm getting off at the next stop. It's going to take me 10 minutes to get through.
Yeah, but then when are you going to find a train that's like less populated enough to not feel like a disturbance to everyone else on their journey? You have to make some people angry.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be an element of that. So when you're not performing, obviously, with the writing and stuff, do you write on the road? Do you write in the studio? Where's kind of your muse? Because you were saying earlier on about how, you know, coming into a radio studio feels quite alike to being in the bedroom and making music there.
Yeah. I mean, creativity can happen from anywhere at any time. Like one of the songs that I'm releasing this year that I'm not playing later, but one of the songs that I'm releasing later this year was sporadically written as I was walking from Clapham Junction to my work that I used to do art. And so in this 6 minute walk, I'd come up with my best ideas, because going to work, I was at my worst.
Wow.
So if Archer Street hears this, They were a great employer. But okay, in all seriousness, like, your creativity can come from anywhere. Like, I wrote Valencia while out in Valencia.
Yeah.
I wrote 1-2 Summer Fling, which is the song that I'm going to play in a few minutes for you as well. I wrote that on a plane from Orlando to Stansted a good 6 years ago now. Yours Today, I wrote in a studio in North London. So, like, it can happen in the weirdest of places, but as soon as that inspiration hits you, it's almost like everything else in the world has got to stop. This is my time that I'm dedicating to. Just do not disturb on your phone. If you're in the airplane mode, and you've got to get down to it. There's no distractions there. Like, even if someone next to you is just like, what are you doing? What are you saying? Just put on some sunglasses. You're like, I'm in the zone.
Yeah. So are you more kind of lyrics first, then find how it fits later, or does it all just come at one go?
I prefer to do like melody and chords first rather than lyrics, for the simple fact of I feel like I'm like, this is me undiagnosed, but like, I'm very much got the touch of like ADHD, OCD. And the way that I work, at least in my brain, is if I've got something to frame lyrics in, then I'm a lot better in putting those lyrics into place.
So
if I have like a framework or a chord structure in which to work in, I then feel like, okay, I've got to work to those lyrics, and work to those chords, and it's almost like forced creativity in that sense. You've got a time period and a structure in which to work in, make it work in that structure. That's why when I hear songs that are like a cappella or something like that, one of my favorite songs is Tracy Chapman's Behind the Wall, which is just pure vocals on its own, and it's talking about like a domestic abuse issue. It's a song that resonates, a song that's got beautiful lyrics, and in a way that my brain cannot comprehend, she just writes lyrically and does it acoustically, and I'm so impressed by her ability to tell a story without it being framed, because my brain just doesn't work.
Well, there
like
goes the inspiration question anyway, yes. of people that you look up to. So, I mean, Tracy Chapman, I think, is a pretty safe.
It's a good shout lyric
for most people. That I think for a lot of people, that's an inspiration.
Yeah, I grew up in different phases though. So when I was in the car when I was younger, listening to my dad's iPod, it would be one of three artists on it. Would be either Hannah Montana, it would be Jamiroquai, or it would be Iron Maiden. And I went more down the Jamiroquai fused Hannah Montana route. Mm-hmm. Even though I have met Tony Moore and played gigs for Tony
really?
Moore. He does a lot of stuff for the Bedford now. I recently won Best Male Artist at the Radio Wigwam Awards, and Tony Moore helped present the award to me, which was very weird when I then took a photo of him and then sent it to my dad. And I think he sent back to me, "You are."
I was going to say, what was the reaction to from your dad from that?
Oh yeah, he loved me vicariously living out his dreams. I was very inspired by those artists growing up, and then from that mix of Hannah Montana, I then weirdly got into country music as a whole. So people like Chris Stapleton, Darius Rucker, and by that extension, Hootie and the Blowfish, to stadium country like Brett Young, Dan and Shay, Thomas Rhett.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I went to uni up in Durham, Tom Misch had just released Geography at that point in time. Stunning album, genuinely stunning album. And like listening to his guitar work, production, lyricism, listening to a lot of Loyal Khaner as well, and a lot of jazz music as well. And then after COVID hit, I had to do a lot of stuff at home. So a lot of lo-fi inspiration came from that.
Yeah.
So almost putting those trifecta of inspirations together. Okay, can I tell a story from country music in a home bedroom production setting during COVID in a way that sounds appealing to that part of my brain in the sort of jazz form?
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, for a lot of people, COVID is either the wheels come off of whatever it is that you're trying to work towards, or it almost, like, I would say it's been an actual integral part of your journey.
Yes, I mean,
you wouldn't have shaped this sound that you've got going on right now if it hadn't have been for that happening. So
let's put it this way. When COVID first hit, my goals were to become a doctor in ludomusicology.
Wow, okay.
So if you didn't know, ludomusicology is the study of video game music. I did my undergrad thesis on the music of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Some great music in that, though.
I did my second year, like, historical studies report on the music from Civilization VI. So I was setting myself up for a very sort of like screen-based music career anyway. And then when COVID hit, it was sort of like a, okay, now I have to do my dissertation without any resources that I had up in Durham. And you also, you've only got a 2-week blanket extension. Good luck. And I was like, haha, nope. And so noped myself out of academia.
I don't know how anybody would be able to do that, though, honestly.
Don't get me wrong. I would still love to do those sort of studies.
So I was going to say, like,
there would definitely have to be sort of like YouTuber style bedroom edit, like discoveries, like an H-bomber guy level video rather than like full-fledged academia.
But like, you know, soundtracks.
Yeah.
Still something you want to do?
Yeah. I've done a few short films in the past. I work very closely with a film company based out in Southwood and where I live called Silver Moon, run by an incredibly talented director called Alex Chetta. One of the films that I did sound for, called How Are You, is actually being played at Southend Film Festival.
Oh, nice.
This year. I can't remember where it's on, but I know it's on at 11 and 7 o'clock at two different locations. Alex will absolutely kill me, but he'll love me because I mentioned his name on the radio. Hi, Alex. but yeah, so I did a lot of work for them, especially just post-COVID in 2022. I did the music for them in 23.
So how does it differ kind of with the process from like in your brain when you're coming up with lyrics for songs that you want to put out as, you know, you, to sort of coming up with a soundtrack?
It's almost very similar because, like I say, when I'm framed in the idea of music and then you put lyrics over it, as a composer, you're framed in the way that the scene goes. The scene goes dictates how you then write your music, where you place your leitmotifs, how quick the tempo is to a song, what time signature you're going to put it in, like what instruments you're going to use, how hard should those instruments be played. It's all dictated by the thing that you see on screen. And it's a lot easier than just creating a soundtrack from like still images and being like, okay, fix it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it brings me a lot of joy to see those come
to life. So really for you, it's more about kind of working within the structure. As long as there's a structure there.
Yeah. As long
you can kind of, you know, you can fit to that.
Yeah. As long as my brain can put itself into a square, then it works a lot better than being told, okay, good luck, which is probably why like I did so well at like secondary education and uni and stuff like that, because at least there was some sort of framing structure, and now there's none. I have no idea what I'm doing with my life.
So tell me about, because obviously you're going to do some songs for us in a moment.
Yes,
and two of them are, I believe, your latest two singles.
They are, yes.
Yeah. Your first one was the first one I played on the radio. So I've played every single one of your songs so far.
Oh, he's got the trifecta.
Yeah, yeah. So how did One More Time come about with that collaboration? Because obviously it was Beat Bakery. So did they reach out to you, or did you reach out to them? Or?
So weirdly, we met at a networking event. I was... it was at an event, weirdly, that Sigala was at. And
he's quite involved, isn't he? Yeah.
So Sigala is based at Tile Yard, where I did my master's.
Yeah.
And there was a sort of fairly intimate, but like quite nice networking event at the sort of bar at the studio itself. And so I met these guys through like a sort of like speed dating style networking event thing. And they were like, hey, we create dance music. Like, we'd love to have you on some of our tracks. I sent over some of my information to them, and they were like, oh, cool, you've got some pipes on you. and so they sent me over some demo tapes for me to sort of just sing over. And I think it was about 4 or 6 that they sent over to be like, which one do you feel most inspired by? And I felt most inspired by the one that eventually became One More Time. The demo is so different.
Really?
It's like tragically different. Like, admittedly, compared, I think Mike and Brody will agree, like, the final song that came out sounds so much better than the, you know, early learning center. It felt like that track felt like my first dance track.
Oh, wow.
Like, if I can find the file, then I will send it over to you, because
I would love to hear that.
It is an absolute gem. Just like, I think they'll agree with me, just for be like, how far we've come as artists ourselves and how far they have come as producers, because they're absolutely brilliant to work with. I love them to bits. Brody's an incredible MD. He's very strict with how you want things to be sung, but you know that it comes from a good place.
Yeah.
And you know that he's getting the best out of his work. And Mike's just a really good mixer. He used to actually be a baker, which is why they're called Beat Bakery together. And why all of their
because they do quite a bit of baking for TikTok.
Yeah, a lot of their social media stuff has.
I wondered if that
theme.
Was just something they took up, or whether that was actually.
Because Mike is legitimately a stunning baker.
So was there lots of sweet treats while you was?
Not admittedly not while we were recording, but after there was definitely a lot
celebratory cookies.
Oh god, absolutely. I can't put a foot wrong with his baking. He's an absolutely stunning stunning man, a stunning baker.
But like, you know, you say the demo was like Early Learning Center, but
yeah,
it was enough there to spark inspiration.
Yeah,
so did you write the entire song on your own? Or?
No, we wrote it together in the Nordic room at Tallyard in a 3-hour writing session. Well, we wrote the majority of it in a 3-hour writing session, and then we sort of perfected it up afterwards, and then sort of did some primary vocals in a second session. We ended up recording the original vocals on an SM7B in what is now the Red Room at TYX. But then we eventually used one of the Neumann TLM-102s in Studio 8 at TYX, and that's where those vocals are. And it's such a stunning room. I really love the vocals that came out of it. So happy.
And it all sounds so good on the song.
Yeah.
You know? So did you already have, you know, when you was working on One More Time, did you already have the plans to release Valencia officially, or
because
obviously you said you wrote that in Valencia.
Yeah, One More Time was written before Valencia. So if we give timeline of things, June 22, One More Time, fully the first demo for it, fully written, recorded. September 2022, my friend Josh is currently studying in his third year at Berklee College of Music in Boston. And they have to do a semester out in the European campus, which is in Valencia. At the time, his girlfriend was Spanish, so it helped Spanish speaking. So it helped to communicate things out while there. I ended up crashing at his place. It ended up being like a really lovely time. We're both big football fans, obviously. We went to a game at the Mestalla. And then when I came back to record actual content for Valencia, we went to the Levante Stadium, which is another stadium just in the north of the city. And I got invited to a Berklee house party on the Saturday immediately after we went to watch that Valencia game, and it was on the roof of his flat complex, and on one side you could see the reflection of the Mediterranean, on another side you could see the reflection and the admittedly the light pollution, but the beautiful lighting from the old city. And it was almost one of those things where it was like, god, I wish I had someone to share this experience with. I wish I had someone to bring this even more so to life. And that's where the idea for Valencia came from. Weirdly, very hungover the next day. And so what ended up wanting to be a day where I walk around the city just ended up being a day where I was in the youth hostel that I had booked out, feeling so sorry for myself, but also ended up writing the chorus to this song. And
so every cloud is
every
what you're
cloud,
saying,
yeah.
You know.
And then January of 2023, my friend Rhea Hanley helped finish the writing for Valencia. And then in April of 23, we finished writing and producing One More Time. And then obviously we got One More Time out. It was supposed to come out in like June or July, but V Records got in contact with us to say that they really, really liked the song and they wanted to distribute it. And they were just finding the right time. And October 7th was
You got headhunted. Hello.
Yeah. October the 6th. Yeah. October the 6th was the right time for that release. And coincidentally, then it was like a month and 2/3 after until Valencia came out officially.
So you had already, you know, planned to kickstart the releases.
Yes. The grind was starting from there.
So Originally in your head then, Valencia would have been your first.
Yeah, in my head,
actual
Valencia
release.
Yes, essentially. But I was very happy that One More Time was also that, to be able to.
Yeah, because that must have catapulted.
It was really weird because it was like in a genre that like I'm not necessarily known for writing in or having my voice in. But I'm not going to complain with 160,000 streams.
No, like, exactly.
I'm not
going to be the only person that listened to that song and was like, I need to know who sang this. You know what I mean? there will be other people that will then find you and follow you and then listen for whatever else you're bringing out.
When we were recording that, actually, my range officially is F2 to G-sharp 4. And in the, if you're feeling fine, in that, like, I'm obviously doing it in falsetto now, but that top A is like a semitone out for my range. And basically for about 2 minutes solid, we were repeating that section and trying to get that note really, really right. And other than that one take that we got, it ended up being all rubbish. So it just ended up being, we got one take good. We'll go from there.
Yeah.
It's done. Move on.
I won't be fussy. Let's just move on.
Yeah, exactly.
You got it. That's it. We'll run with it.
Cut. Right. Let's shut this down.
You're not going to be singing that one today then.
No, I'm not, sadly. There is an acoustic version of it, but I put it down 2 semitones, just at least for my voice's sake.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, I think that's understandable. I guess you can always push yourself a bit more in the studio when you're, you know, you can go over and redo it again and stuff.
Yeah. When there's no audience to be like, oh God, his voice broke quite badly there. But yeah, it's
you can kind of do the whole, is any of that usable?
If you're feeling fine, nope. If you're feeling fine, nope. If you're feeling fine, yep, go for it.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall in the studio at that moment. So, new single's out now.
Yep.
And imagine you've got more ahead. I know you mentioned earlier on that you was going to play a little bit of an exclusive future single in a bit.
Yeah, I've got, in fact, 2 singles that I'm going to do, I'm going to give like an exclusive little clip to. So one of them is nearly fully produced. I just need to send some vocal pads over to the producer who also did Valencia for me.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them was a song that was, I sent a demo off to Cavendish, which are a distribution company out in London. They do sync opportunities for people like Netflix and BBC and stuff.
Ooh.
Like that. And
talking about soundtracks earlier.
Yeah. And so this would be like, imagine like this song would be like imagine the end of like a Made in Chelsea scene,
yeah,
or like a Love Island scene where a couple have broken up or something like that. And you're getting real emotion and the strings are coming out and the dramatic percussion and the dramatic voice layering really like hit the oh woe is me feeling there.
We need some oohs and ahs as well in there, you know.
Well, there's
just like, for effect.
When we ended up doing the vocals for it, there's a vocal chant that I did. It was like in the actual finished version, which again, I'll send to you when it's done. The vocal chant is like, from her. And it just gives off weirdly real Narnia vibes.
Yeah.
But also, again, in context, out of context, that sounds really weird, but in context, it gives off like a really sort of, again, oh, woe is me sentimentality.
Yeah.
And, you know, just put on the kettle, feel sad for a few minutes, and we reset, we go again.
Which is what all them shows are about, aren't they?
Oh,
they take
God,
you
yeah,
on an emotional like, roller coaster.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not a big fan of Love Island, Made in Chelsea as shows in principle, but the sync opportunities that they give for up and coming artists are actually stunning.
Yeah.
I would admittedly, I'd only watch Love in Ireland, Made Chelsea. I would only love those two shows. I'd only watch those two shows if, like, I knew that a friend's song was going to be on there. Like my friend,
or your own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my friend's
dad. Move over and need to put Love Island on. You what? No, seriously, I'm going to be singing on there in a minute.
It's like the scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where Leonardo DiCaprio is like, oh, this is me. But yeah, so my friends Darcy, Emma, Johnny, Jordan Round has had a song on there, or multiple songs on there. And it's almost like, that's so, so cool. When am I going to be on there? It's just sort of just looking at your watch, just sort of like TikTok. That hopefully that moment will come with this song. Super excited to.
And the one now,
out.
I mean, obviously I'm going to get you to sing it in a minute, but the one you've got out now.
Yes.
Was that after Valencia or?
So on the timeline of things, I wrote that in August of 2018.
Oh, wow. So this is like a proper
so like a good
retro
6
George.
Years ago. So July 29th, 2018, My girlfriend at the time of 2.5 years had broken up with me. And then 9 days later, we had planned a family holiday out to Walt Disney World. And so obviously, sometimes the best antidote is being with Mickey and friends.
Well,
but,
yeah.
But when you get like, oh my God. So I was in the queue for the Avatar ride, which had just opened, and the couple in front of me and behind me were just giving the most PDA to each other. Like, I do not mean like subtly.
That's the thing though, isn't it? If you know, Disney World is probably like one of the worst places to go because there's so many couples
Like they were absolutely going to town on each other. And when I tell you that obviously the ride had just opened at the time, the queue was 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
So I was with these two couples for 2.5 hours.
And you're like,
hours.
How much further is this actually going to escalate?
Yeah, like, my mum, dad, and sister had gone off to the zoo at the Animal Kingdom. They were like, monkeys, like giraffes and lemurs and stuff like that. There's me just like, this is the worst 2.5 hours of my entire life. And then I got on the ride and it was mid, 6 out of 10. Wasn't worth it.
But you got a song out of this on trip, so
I got a song out of this absolute pity of sadness. So while I was on the plane back from Orlando to Stansted, I was supposed to get some sleep on that flight because it was 8 hours long.
Supposed to.
But as we were talking about inspiration coming from everywhere, in the backseat TVs of the plane, there was in fact an hour-long promotional video for Walt Disney World. Which I think was slightly counterintuitive.
Yeah, I feel like
you
should be having it on the way out, not on the way back.
Really, really. But yeah, the chords for like this advert were so simple, like very like corporate, like music in the background. Mm. So corporate that YouTube flagged it as corporate music when I tried to go onto the video. But yeah, like I heard this track and I was like, that's really good inspiration. And so I replayed that part of the video, that part of the promotional video over and over again for about 6 hours of that journey.
Jeez.
And then wrote what was the first draft of 1-2 Summer Fling in that 6 hours over the Atlantic. I then proceeded to get no sleep for the rest of that and then got invited to a party that same night and was out until like 1 o'clock in the morning, like anyway for that party. So it ended up being like a good like 50 hours that I was awake in that period. Whether that first draft was good or not was beyond my 19-year-old comprehension.
Not early learning center though.
Yeah. But like it was my Microsoft Surface had a piano app on it.
Oh.
And so I played along with the chords. Didn't get anything recorded. I just like wrote it down. But was like furiously voice noting.
Voice
what
memos
I was doing.
Be the best.
Yeah, absolutely. And so yeah, that's how it went down. And then at the start of this year, January 2024, I sent the track off to my friend Finn because he had just started up his own independent business as a freelance producer and a arranger as well. So I sent the track to him and he was like, yeah, this could work. and so we ended up with a first production session for it. We ended up rewriting some of the lyrics for it, recorded the vocals for it in around like 2 hours, including gang vocals. And yeah, we got it out on April 26th, which it was a few days ago now. And I'm super happy with how it's gone. I'm super happy with sort of people who have listened to it. Not necessarily like the best for me streaming wise, but at least getting me more out of my discography to be like, okay, here's something that I can show off to people. Here's some artwork that I can then bolster the equivalent of a musical CV with, my EPK with. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. And that, you're putting out music that you enjoy as well. And it's authentic to yourself.
Yeah, you have a long time coming as
such
well.
Rich stories behind all of these songs that I think not a lot of people actually have necessarily. So, you know, the fact that you have so much, you know,
in
attached
the
to the music. Yeah. I mean, I'm waiting for the day when you release a song and I'm like, so what's the long old backstory about? And you're like, well, I was walking along the street and I dropped a bagel.
And it's just like the saddest, like most atmospheric, like
I had to turn around and go and get another one,
like kid dropping ice cream moment, just burst into tears.
Or when you've got like the last little bit of drink left and you knock it over.
Oh my god,
that is one of the most painful situations to be in.
Tragic.
And you just look at the empty bottle lying there with all the liquid and you're like
absolutely tragic. When you're full after the first bite of an all-you-can-eat Chinese.
Yeah.
Like, it's that sort of moment where it's like,
I've got so much further to go.
I've got so much more, and yet cannot do anymore.
Well, anyway, listen, this would normally be where I would play one of your songs.
Yes.
And I would be like, hey, do you want to introduce your song? But we're going to do one more, because I'm going to leave the room for a few minutes. Play some adverts, and then I'm going to come back in, and it's basically going to be the O2.
Yes.
Like, you're going to set up the keys. Yeah. So, we're going to play some ads, and then George is actually going to play you some songs.
Looking forward to it.
So, we'll do that next.